Good evening.
Tonight we're continuing our series on God's nature. And we went through some of his nature already. Of course, we know that God, he is love, absolutely. He loves each and every one of us. He loves the those in the world, the lost. But once again, that's not all there is to his character, his nature. And we see his nature throughout all of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New. And it's so important that we do, because there's more to God than just love. This evening we're going to talk about jealousy. And God is a jealous God. We see that evidence. He does not like when his people put their attention on someone or something else. He created us, male, female, in his image. We are his. We were bought with a price. And so, yes, he deserves to be jealous. This is his creation. But as man, of course, what comes out of a man is what defiles him. Man desired throughout the ages to have other gods, to set their priority on other things. And we will be talking about false gods, some idolatry tonight as well. And so God commands us to worship him only. And so, of course, he is provoked to jealousy. And so when we look at places like Exodus chapter 20, starting in verses 4 and going through 5. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. When we look here, God lays it out here. He tells the people of Israel, you are not to make for yourself a carved image, a false god. They would have bowed down to the Baals, to the Asherahs, to other gods of other nations. What do you think God felt at that moment? Anger, jealousy. His wrath would be poured out against his own people. What's funny about idols, they're using the same material that God created to make a false god, a god who's not alive. When you look at paganism, false gods, whether it's Nord, whether it's Greek, whatever it may be, false gods have been part of the people. Even today, when we look at false gods and what false gods are, of course, people aren't bowing down to statues they made. It still probably goes on, but when we look at false gods today, money's a big one. People will sell their souls in order to make more money. They will put off God to chase after money. The second biggest one that I can see in our world today is sports. Super Bowl Sunday is its own religion anymore. I love sports, absolutely. But at the same time, it has turned into a false god that people bow down and worship to. I mean, they're wearing jerseys. Now, once again, let me make this comment. I love sports. I have jerseys, signed jerseys, absolutely. But when it becomes a priority like it has in our culture today, it's a false god. And so my question is, what do you think God feels when we put all of our attention to these other things, sports, education, money, jobs? He's jealous. because he alone, and he has proven throughout the centuries, throughout thousands and upon thousands of years, that he is true, that he is real, and that we are to worship him and him only. But Israel here, once again, we see this commandment to them, and this is something they are reminded over and over, but yet we will see they fall into idolatry. But I like the final statement here in Exodus 20. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. What do you make of that? Who hate me? We must understand, if we have that desire to go after other gods, does that mean we hate the one true God? Yes, it does. When we are not giving him the worship that he deserves, yeah, we don't like him. We don't love him. It's a big problem. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 13 through 15, once again, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Here's another reminder. You are not to worship these gods. You are not to have anything to do with the gods of other nations. We've studied through it. They were commanded to take care and wipe out the nations around them. But they failed at that mission. And so God promised them that these nations will be a thorn in your side all your days. And there would be snare after snare set up by Satan to fall into idolatry. God is a jealous God. And he did not take too kindly to idolatry. Once again, more evidence that he is a jealous God, that he is a wrathful God. Yes, he loved Israel. Yes, he loved the people of these pagan nations. But he does not tolerate sin. He does not tolerate idolatry. It's so important we see that. Now going to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 18 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 18 through 22. Observe, Israel, after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Here is Paul writing to the Corinthians who are struggling. It goes back to Christ's teachings. You cannot serve two masters, for you will either hate the one or love the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon or money. The Corinthians here may have tried to partake in idolatry, eating things they shouldn't have, and trying to drink the cup of the Lord, to be with the Lord. It cannot happen. Because once again, Paul makes that state or that question, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? And we will. When we sin, and it's not just idolatry, when we sin altogether, it provokes God to jealousy. because we're giving more attention to our own sinful desires than we are to living for Him and being obedient to Him. We cannot allow ourselves to give in to the flesh, to give in to sin. We belong to God. These bodies are not our own bodies. They were bought with a price. And Paul writes that to the Corinthians. These bodies don't belong to you. Yet, we still do what we want with our bodies. My body, my choice. I'm sure you guys have heard that. No, it's not. And so when we look, once again, God is jealous. He wants you to all to Himself. You belong to Him. He wants your worship. He wants you to give Him the glory. That's what God wants. And is He in the wrong for it? No. He has given everything for us. He gave His only Son to a people who tortured and killed Him on a cross. Yeah, He has every right to demand from us worship and obedience and faithfulness. And yet many still choose the world. Now, we know God is jealous. And we know there are good things that we pull from God, that we are to be like God. We are to walk and talk like God. But does that mean that we can be jealous? Well, no. Because when we look at what jealousy is, and has anybody here ever been jealous of someone or something? I'm sure you have. I have. You look, because jealousy can lead to other sins. When you look at jealousy and covetousness, they are of the same mind, but one leads to the other. Because we've been commanded, well, of course, not to be jealous, and we'll see here in a minute a few texts, but covetousness. You know, once again, you go all the way back to the Old Testament, they were commanded not to covet their neighbor's things or their wives. But jealousy should not be named among us. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." This wisdom, it does not descend from above, but it's earthly. It's demonic. People proclaim to be wise, but really, they're foolish. And envy is at the core of all this. Envy and self-seeking, where they exist. Confusion and every evil thing there are. Like I've said, it leads to other sins. It leads to worse. It leads to more sin. It can lead to coveting and then to stealing, stealing things that are not yours, to taking things that do not belong to you. I have seen, and once again, I'm a documentary guy, so you know, if you know any interesting documentaries passing my way, when we have watched documentaries on certain murder cases, at the center there of all these murders, there's selfishness, self-seeking, jealousy are involved. Pride are involved. Should we envy something that someone has? No. You know, when I look at people who have Ferraris, and that's Ferraris, Bugattis, people who have that type of money, even if I had that type of money, I wouldn't spend that type of money. Anyway, I sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could have a car like that. It's a beautiful car. Ferraris are beautiful. Bugattis are beautiful. Mustangs, whatever. Or maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a job. Maybe your job hasn't paid you well. Maybe you're struggling to go through with it. You go home bitter, and then you see about your neighbor having a job they love. Jealousy can form. We need to be careful as Christians. Because when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 5, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not envy. There's jealousy. Love is not, does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. There's pride, self-seeking. True love, and we see that with God. Yes, he is a jealous God. But when we look at the love we are to show others, it is not to envy. We should be happy that other people are succeeding, that they are doing well in life. We should be happy that our brothers and sisters are doing well or doing better. Should we envy them? It will only lead to worse things. Being self-seeking will only lead to worse things. It will lead to confusion and more evil. In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 29, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, there's covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, and so forth and so on. Who's Paul talking about here? The Gentiles. Envy, full of envy. Envy can lead to murder, strife, deceit, covetousness, maliciousness. It can lead to these things. When we look at the Pharisees, who did they envy? Christ. Where did that lead them? To killing him. That's who the Pharisees were. They were full of envy. They were full of pride. Really, when you look at Romans 1 and Romans 2, you see who the Pharisees are. They were not good men. They were men seeking their own. And if they had to kill Christ to get what they had back, they were going to do it, and they did do it. But thankfully, he rose from the dead 3 days later, and our sins were washed away. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we move away from jealousy. God has the right, but we are called not to have jealousy. In Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. If you're suffering, it's hard not to envy people who are doing well, is it? I think about people with cancer who are facing stage 4. Cancer, or any type of cancer. From a human perspective, I don't blame them for being envious of those who are healthy and enjoying life. But at the same time, once again, we have been told that God makes it rain on the just and unjust. We're going to suffer in this life. They're still good. There's still beautiful things that happen. Life is still beautiful, even when we're suffering. But we must look past the suffering and understand we should feel blessed to still be able to wake up and enjoy life. And it's hard to do. It's hard not to envy those who are doing well, even those who we know are lost, who are wicked. It's hard to comprehend. And David here understands that, because David, who is on the run, we go back to 1 Samuel with Saul. David was innocent of all, but Saul was pursuing him. Saul wanted him dead. We see with Saul that he was full of jealousy, because when he came in, he says, they're singing for me that I've killed my hundreds and David's killed thousands. That jealousy grew. And we see the road that it led Saul down. Saul lost his right to the throne. God pulled his spirit away from Saul and anointed David. Jealousy can drive you to some dark places. And that's why God warns us throughout Scripture to stay away, even with vengeance, which we'll talk about later on in this series. It drives you to some dark places, and it will cost you your soul. It cost Saul his throne. It cost Saul his life, and his sons lost their lives. Jealousy is nothing to mess with. In Romans chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We are called to walk properly. It's not easy, but we are called to walk properly. Not in this sin, not in envy, not in lust, not in lewdness, not in strife. These are things that people do struggle with. And how do you deal with it? You don't let it keep going, because it'll just grow and grow until it engulfs you. How do you deal with it? And what I tell young men and young women, as well as older men and older women, it's so important to prepare yourself for the day through Scripture and through prayer. Ask God for strength to overcome these things, to overcome jealousy, to overcome this sin, to lean on Him, fully rely on Him. And at that point, He will give you understanding. He will guide you through. But sadly, many don't. They continue and they allow that sin to grow and fester into something much worse. And then you're down in a dark, dark pit, miserable, full of hate, full of anger, full of wickedness. We must put away our envy and learn to be content with our life, with what we have, what we've been provided with. God is, you know, I look at my life, God has provided me with so many things that I don't deserve. I don't, never will. But God has provided me a wonderful life, a beautiful life. It's up to me to continue forward being obedient to Him and relying on Him every single day. I don't need millions of dollars. Sure, it'd be nice to have $1 million in the bank. Sure, it'd be nice to have a brand new truck. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But at the end of the day, I have everything I need. And He will continue to provide. And I will continue striving to be faithful. Not saying I will be perfect. There are days that I do fall. I find myself envying others. I'm human, but at the same time, I know what God has in store for me is far better than anything this world can offer. So if you're here this evening, and maybe as a Christian, you struggle with jealousy. Maybe you struggle with lust. Maybe you struggle with many other sins. God's still there waiting for you, willing to bring you back, to give you time to repent and renew your walk with Him, to fully rely on Him. Or if you're not a Christian, why continue being full of jealousy, being full of strife, full of anger, full of hatred? Why not give it up and come to Christ? And He will show you a better way.
a much better way. And if you're not a Christian, this is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, John 3:16-17. You repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Then you confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. It doesn't stop there, though. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be washed by the blood of Christ, Galatians 3:26-27 and Acts 2:38. But here's the hard part. Remain faithful. Don't provoke God to jealousy, because that's a battle you will lose. And don't give in to jealousy yourself. Be the man and woman of God that you have been called to be. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.